You know, what we know about the birth of Jesus comes to us by divine revelation. The inspired words of the gospel. What we call the Christmas story from the scriptures. These passages are probably some of the most well-known of Bible verses. Sometimes they become so familiar and comforting to us, and maybe we have a tendency to think that, well, there's nothing new. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit can reveal through these words new meaning. It's more than just inspired storytelling. But if we look deep into the Word of God, these Christmas stories and the birth of Jesus, we can see some things that are useful to us, training us in a right relationship with our Lord. So the passage I selected this morning is filled with challenges to our faith and also encouragement to grow in God. My text is Matthew 1:18. I'm reading from the Wiest Expanded Translation. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was thus. After his mother Mary was promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together as husband and wife, she was found to be pregnant. The source of that pregnancy being the Holy Spirit. My subject this morning is God's sovereignty, poor Joseph. God didn't get Joseph's approval before acting. He didn't go to Joseph and say, "Now, I want to borrow your wife. I want to do this or that." He never even contacted Joseph before he acted. Can you imagine the real life shock of these words? Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, we know that was through the Holy Spirit, but take for granted, when you got engaged to be married, if you found out your fiancé was pregnant and you had nothing to do with it, how would you feel? God acted without even contacting Joseph. Mary, boy, she had a blessed experience. Received an angelic visitation in the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit. But poor Joseph received the worst news of his life. Think about him. God drafted Joseph into a difficult position. Would the Almighty ever do that to one of us? Draft us into a difficult position. Brother Mike, would you turn the cool off back there? There you go. Thank you. Have you ever considered the implications of God's sovereignty? That's what we're seeing here in this act of God with Joseph. God is a sovereign God. We can say, if we say that we belong to God, are we willing to be drafted as Joseph was? The sovereign God means He is clothed with absolute authority over the host of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And that's what God was doing when He did this with Joseph. He was fulfilling His sovereignty. I have control not only over all the host of heaven, but over all the inhabitants of the earth. Secondly, the sovereignty of God means He upholds all things with His mighty power and determines the end which they are destined to serve. Joseph had no choice in this. He could not choose whether he wanted to stay with Mary or not. He could not choose whether God would use her as the instruments for the incarnation. God in His sovereignty decided for Joseph what He would do. Now let me add here in the beginning of this sovereignty of God message that God always acts to the best interest of whatever the outcome should be, regardless of what He does. Thirdly, He rules as King in the most absolute sense of the word, and all things are dependent on Him and subservient to Him. Nothing can raise its head and say, "You will not control me." Everything is subservient to Him as the sovereign God. Here are some scriptures depicting God's sovereignty. Deuteronomy 10. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He is absolute authority. There is none that can overwhelm Him whatsoever. Secondly, in Psalm 115, listen to the psalmist as he says, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases." And I know some of you think you've been married to somebody like that. Or you've known a boss on the job that seems to be like that. They do whatever they please. But there's only one sovereign God. And that describes Him. He's in heaven. And whatever He desires, whatever He wants, He does. But listen again. He is righteous. He is holy. He is pure. And everything that He commands, He does for the best end of righteousness, holiness, and purity. God's sovereign will is shown in several different ways. Everything, I'm saying everything, is derived from God's will. Everything And I'm going to point out a few of those things. Creation and preservation is derived from God's will. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 135. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and on all deep places. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. Everything is derived, even creation and preservation. Now, I've been in the ocean, and somebody said to me, "Do you go swimming in the ocean?" I said, "No way." I pulled some ugly looking creatures out of there. I'll never forget the first time Brother Hornbecker came down to Rehoboth Beach when I lived on the eastern shore, and we went surf fishing. And he caught a fish and he pulled it out and he started running up across the sand with it, hooked to the hook yet. And as he ran, that fish went from something like that long and that deep to that big. It blew up. And we both stood there and looked in amazement. We never saw anything like that. A blowfish. But God made that creature. Some of you people sit down and eat some of those things. You'll pay $50, $60, $70, $80 a bushel. And work and break claws and everything else trying to get to the meat. They are the buzzards of the sea. Anything that is dead, they eat. Anything that stinks, they eat. And then you turn around and eat them. God made them. I don't know why He made them. But He decided I want them. And He does as He pleases. I'm glad when He made the waterfall to fall down over the rocks. I can stand and look at it and say, "Wow, isn't God good?" I love when the flower blooms and I can lean down and smell its fragrance and say, "Wow, that's wonderful." Everything in creation He has done as He pleases. Listen to Revelation. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." I've heard some of you this past summer grouching and grumbling about stink bugs. Every one of them, God designed it. God created it. He had a purpose. He had a reason. And who are you to say that God messed up? Hello? So God's will was to create everything that exists. You see, everything is derived from God's will. Secondly, government is derived from God's will. Oh, have you heard anybody grumbling and complaining about Congress? Have you heard anybody say we ought to kick all of the bums out? Did you know God made government? Listen to Proverbs 21:1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes." I'm telling you, Obama's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And He turns it wherever He wishes. Now, we don't like what Obama's doing in many cases, hello? As well as many other presidents. But God has a reason. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And even though our congressmen think they make laws and do this and they order these things for the citizens of America to follow, yet it is God's divine plan He has in store. He turns it wherever He wishes. Do you ever think about the Pharisee in Egypt? When he wouldn't let the children of Israel go, the Bible said God hardened his heart. That he wouldn't let them go. So God has a plan. In Daniel 4 and 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can constrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Thirdly, election and probation is derived from God's will. Romans 9, for He says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion." So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. I wondered, God, why did you let somebody like Hitler live as long as he did? Why didn't you kill him before he killed all of those millions of people? Why didn't you just suck his breath right out of his lungs? You could have done it. God chose to let him live for whatever reason. God chose for whatever reason. We don't understand it all. We know it not all. But God sees the bigger picture. He chooses on whom He will have mercy and on whom He will have compassion. In Ephesians, Paul said, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." Do you know that God has predestined for every single individual in the world to be saved? But He doesn't make them be saved. They have a choice to accept Him or reject Him. But He's already paid the price. It is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? But He has chosen. He's made the predetermination that according to His will and purpose, all have access to the kingdom of God. Amen. Sufferings for Christ are also derived from God's will. How many here enjoy suffering? I know now, if you get a head cold or something, you get the honey to wait on you. Warm you up soup and pat you on the head. Listen to Luke as he writes, "Father, if it is your will," Jesus said this, "if it is your will, take this cup from me." Remember that statement in the garden? "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." We don't always understand why it is. Jesus knew why He had to suffer. And even in the midst of his suffering, just getting approaching the crucifixion, he was already, the human part of him was crying out, "Please let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to go through this." But immediately at it, "Nevertheless, not my will." How many of us have said to God, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. If I have to suffer for you and for your cause, then I count it all joy that I may suffer for you." Listen to Acts 2:23. Him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Him being delivered by what? Determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Jesus didn't have a choice. God the Father said, "He's going to be crucified. He's going to shed his blood." And he delivered, God delivered it. The Romans, the Jews, whoever takes the blame for crucifying Jesus Christ could not have done it unless God had determined, "It is my will for him to die." And when you're suffering in this life, I don't care what it is, if it's sickness, if it's persecution, whatever it happens to be, if it's troubles of life, whatever it has to be, God has willed that it happens. And my place is to say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." That's the sovereignty of God. That was the sufferings of Christ. Now, the sufferings of believers. Listen to Peter. "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." If it is God's will. How many of us have said, "God, I'm totally surrendered to your sovereign will." Man's life and destiny are determined from God's will. Acts 18, "But took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus, the apostle. Notice he said, "I'll come back, God willing." How many of us say, "Well, I'm going to town, the Lord willing. I'm going shopping today, the Lord willing." Or do you get up and say, "I'm going shopping today, whether God likes it or not"? Paul, in his everyday life, in what he was going to do, Paul made first and foremost in his life the will of God. God is sovereign. Have you ever started to do something of your own choice and will, and God spoke to your heart and said, "I don't think you ought to"? And you bent to God's will. In James, the apostle wrote, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord wills. You see, it is recognizing the sovereignty of God, that God has the final choice in our lives. God, we want your will rather than what I want. We want to be obedient to you. I don't know if Joseph, in all of his praying, Apparently he was a righteous man. Apparently he was a good man. Apparently he followed the law of God. And I don't know if someplace in his life he prayed that prayer, "Oh God, your will be done in my life." But God made the choice. Joseph, this is what I'm going to do. And apparently he was willing to go along with it. Do you know that God even has in his will derived the plan for the smallest things of life? Listen to Matthew. Jesus said, "And are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." I was standing in the mountain yesterday and by a tree and looking for that elusive buck. And a whole flock of little tiny birds came into a stump right close to me. And they were jumping around and flitting around and pecking on the stump, pecking on the ground. I just thought, standing there watching them, wonder what in the world they're finding there. But God had put something there to sustain them. And there they were early in the morning, out working for their food. And I also thought, my Lord, these birds know more than some human beings. There was a young lady put on Facebook here some time ago. She put on there, "How to get disability." I wrote back. I said, "It's time for people not to be searching how to get disability, but how to get a job." I thought, boy, I'm in for it now. Never heard a peep. I did look later, and there it was again, "How to get disability." I said, well, I didn't get through. These birds out there hunting and pecking, looking for their food in the morning to sustain them. Guess whose will it is? And God saw every one of those little birds. Every single one of them. And if one of them falls before the evening is over, he takes note of it. Even the smallest things of life. Every one of those crabs, you crack their claws, God saw them die for your sake. Take that home. I know what you're going to say. Every one of those 40 deer you shot. See, God chose Joseph by his sovereign will. Without Joseph's consent, for the role that God saw fit for his life and for the well-being of his son, the Messiah. Oh, Joseph was in a little stupor for a while, you remember? He thought, how am I going to, get rid of Mary? How am I going to divorce her? How am I going to put her away? And then God had to send an angel and straighten Joseph out and say, don't be afraid to take her, for what has been done is through the Holy Spirit. You, like Joseph, were created by God for His purpose. You thought maybe all along the purpose of your life was to do what you want to do. The purpose of your life is to get a job. Work all your life. Make money. Put it in the bank. Get old. Draw Social Security. And die. There's a greater purpose in your life than that. Joseph had no idea when he started courting Mary that God had a special purpose for him. And that was to be the stepfather of the incarnate Son of God. He had no idea of God's sovereignty. But when it came about, he submitted to God's will and fulfilled God's plan. Have you? Have you submitted to the sovereignty of Almighty God? Would you stand with me? God's sovereign will is for every human being, including you, to serve, and I honor Him in whatever He directs for your life. I remember as a teenager saying to God, "I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll go where you want me to go." God knew my heart at that time. If it was Africa, that's where it would have been. Wherever the Lord decided, last week we drove by through the little village that Linda and I lived in for 9 years. That little village is absolutely deplorable now. Fell apart. We went by that little house that used to be a horse stall that we lived in. When I was a teenager and said to God, "I'll go where you want me to go and be what you want me to be and do what you want me to do," I never dreamed we would end up in that little shanty of a house where the water froze in the bottom of the bathtub. Joseph had no idea. Caleb, when he signed up to serve the Lord, had no idea he would have to take a mountain full of giants. But that was God's sovereign will. And he was 80 years old. What is God's sovereign will for your life? Whatever you have left, have you been fulfilling God's sovereign will? You see, the story of Jesus at Christmas is now pointing us to the sovereign will of God. Have you fulfilled His sovereign will? Are you fulfilling His sovereign will? Will you fulfill His sovereign will for the rest of your life? Bow your head. You and God talk about it right now. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to surrender like Joseph to your sovereign will. You know what's best for me and my life. You know what you want to do. You know the purpose of my existence. God, I surrender. Not my will, but yours be done. You notice Joseph didn't have the chance to say, "Well, I want out of this. I want out of this deal." He surrendered to the will of God even after God already acted. Here you are. There's no paragraphs stating, "I'll do this, but not this." When we come to God's sovereign will, we say, "God, not my will, but yours be done." Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm through with me. Now it's up to God.